leaders that in this day and age, that is a huge, yeah, huge thing. So. Also, I'd like to say that I really appreciate Brandon. Brandon was a godsend to this church. Let's keep supporting him as he leads and guides us in our faith with Christ. Bear with me. This is the first time either you're lucky or you're unlucky. This is the first time I've ever given Sunday morning service, okay? I've been a part of this church for somewhere between 6 or 7 years, me and my wife. I've dealt with, and it's hard to believe this young lady here has grown up. I'll point you out here. I've been a part of Roots and RAP. It's our after-school program with the children across the street here come over. And it was a blessing in my life. Been a part of that. I've been a part of the Sunday school service downstairs. So remember this, if this is kind of like a Sunday school class, you know where it's coming from, okay? Also, I'm part of the elders leadership team here, okay? And that's been a blessing in my life. But the main thing you need to know about me is I'm a sinner saved by the grace of God through Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, okay? So bear with me today as I give this message to you. The other thing I want you to remember is this message, I've never been to seminary. I've never been to college. You know, I have no big education or anything like that, but I am a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's my only credentials that I have. God's blessed my life. I'll tell you a little bit about me and my life. I grew up in Wichita, Kansas. There were six, mom and dad, four kids. I had an older sister named Debbie, a brother named Cliff, then it was me, and then it was my little brother Jeff. Our mother made sure we went to church. That's been a blessing in my life. She always made us go to church. I was baptized at the First Baptist Church, Metropolitan First Baptist Church in Wichita, Kansas, and that's right downtown, if anybody knows anything about Wichita, just across the river. It's a good-sized church. A congregation could be anywhere, and I'm estimating between 1,000 or 1,500 people. Okay, huge balcony. I spent most of my church life up there in that balcony, me and my brothers getting in trouble. But the Word of God didn't get in us. From there, you know, I got married. I married Marlene. She's my wife. We've been married. In fact, tomorrow, we've been married 46 years. That's a blessing from God. And I'm glad that God gave us family, because I don't know, man, I don't know what I'd do without my wife. And I'm sure there's a lot of us in here feel the same way. That's a beautiful part of God's creation, and He made that. I have two children, Wendy and Darren, and I have several grandchildren. And if my kids are watching, it is much better to have grandchildren. They are a blessing. They are a blessing, okay? But what I'm here today to do, Brandon did search around, okay? We asked all the normal people, went to the college over in Manhattan, couldn't find anybody. So basically what I'm telling you, you got stuck with what was left, okay? I'm it. But I'm blessed. I'm thankful. I prayed about if God calls you, He will equip you, okay? If God calls you, He'll equip you. So I'm putting this on God. He's going to equip me today, okay? And He'll equip you in your lives. He is our provider. The word I'm going to present to you today, it's a blessing for me to get up here and present the word. The word I'm going to present to you today is, like I said, I'm not a pastor, okay? I don't have its back. It's what God's laid on my heart. It's the way I see the Word of God. And we all see the Word of God a little differently. The main points are there for us, but, you know, you may see a little something. Well, this is just what Rex saw, okay? It's what God put on my heart. But the main, you know, I prayed about this, and what I prayed is that everyone that's here today will be touched by God, okay, by the Holy Spirit. I prayed that the Holy Spirit would just pour out His Spirit upon you, okay, that He'd open our eyes and our hearts as we look at the Word of God. So I hope and pray, and that's for everybody online, too. I pray that God will touch you, that you won't leave here without a closer relationship with Jesus Christ, whether you know the Lord or you don't know the Lord. And I was so excited when I came in here, and some of you saw, I was talking to Logan and Dalen, some of the kids, you know, just excited to see them. Because of this COVID, we haven't had after-school program. We haven't had around. In fact, I'm going to give a shout-out right up there on top. Hey, Dalen, how you doing? All right, cool. I feel more comfortable. I'm used to talking to you, ain't I? Yeah. So it was good to see them. And that's what God put on my heart today is we're going to be reading out of the book of Hebrew, chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. If you turn there with me today. Okay, Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. That's a powerful scripture there. When I rededicated my life to Christ when I was 35 years old, that scripture helped me, especially scripture, verse 2, fix our eyes upon Jesus. Fix our eyes upon Jesus. This scripture is talking about faith, the author and perfecter of our faith. Last week we talked a little bit mainly in Matthew, but we're going to look in Hebrews. In chapter 11, it talks about the heroes of faith, okay? And like I said, bear with me. And for some of you that don't know, we got a bunch of technology I pulled out. This is called a folder, and these are files in here. Some of you younger, and this is actually an ink pen. We're going high tech today, okay? All right, bear with me. I got to get my notes out here and get situated before we get started. Okay. Yeah, Hebrews chapter 11. It gives us a list of the great cloud of witnesses. God has given us witnesses. We can go, and that's what the Bible, the Old Testament, all the way through the Bible, it's witnesses. It's instructions on how we should live our lives. He not only gives us the instructions, but he gives us the example of the people that live their life for God, live the life of faith. Some of the names, okay, we got Abraham, Jacob, Joseph, many-colored coat. Remember that? Okay. Moses, he led his people out of Israel, or out of Egypt into Israel, the promised land, okay? Remember, Moses didn't want to do that. He said, God, I can't even speak. But he found the faith to do it. We got Samson, David, and Samuel. The Bible says through faith they conquered kingdoms, shut the mouths of lions, and quenched the fury of the flames, and so much more. They were all commended for their faith. If we look in, and you don't have to turn there. I hope I have it right here. Hebrews 11:6. Why is faith so important? If we turn Hebrews 11:6. We turn there. It says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. That's an action. We have to earnestly seek God, okay? But it's important for us as Christians, we have to have faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. We have to believe that he exists. We have to obey and trust. But what we're going to do right now is, this is the Sunday school part of me. We're going to turn back to Samuel 17. And we're going to talk about David. He was one of those mentioned heroes of faith. David was a shepherd boy. I'm going to set the stage. David was a shepherd boy, okay? The Israelites and the Philistines were getting ready to go to war. They had got their battleground set. There was a hillside over here. The Philistines were over here. Hillside over here, the Israelites were here. And then there was a valley right here where they'd come down and fight. Okay? Kind of sets the stage here. When we go there, if you're in Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 4. There's David right there. He's out there. And this is part of the Sunday school. I like the pictures. I like the visual effect. It kind of gives you an idea. But 1 Samuel chapter 4, it says, a champion named Goliath who was from Gath, came out of Philistine's camp. His height was 6 cubits in a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head and wore a coat of scales, armor of bronze weighing 5,000 shekels. On his legs, he wore bronze greaves, and a bronze javelin was slung on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and its iron point weighed 600 shekels. His shield bearer went ahead of him. Let's get a picture of Goliath. He was, the Bible says, 9 feet tall. I couldn't even reach up and take his helmet off his head, and I'm 6'2". Okay, so we know he's tall. But it says here that his coat, his armor coat that he put on for battle, it weighed 126 pounds. Okay, 126 pounds. The spearhead on his spear weighed 15 pounds. This is a huge man. This is a giant. If it is estimated, it's just to estimate that when he put all his armor on with his helmet and everything, he put on over 200 pounds. That's more than most men weigh. He put on 200 pounds on his body when he went to war. We're going to go on down to verse 8. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not the servants of Saul?" That's a key word there, Saul. Saul was the king of the Israelites. God appointed Saul king. But he mentions his name right there. He says, "Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us." Then the Philistine said, This day I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." So basically, he had this hillside over here and this hillside over here. And Goliath's come down here in the valley, and he's looking up at the Israelites, and he's challenging them, he's defying them. He says, "This day I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." On hearing the Philistines' words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. That's not a good thing if you're getting ready to go to battle and you're dismayed and you're terrified. You don't want to go to battle like that. But that's where the Israelites were. That's where Saul was. So dismayed is distressed. They were distressed. They were terrified. That's extremely fearful of the situation. Well, this is something that the nation of Israel, that God's people have been guilty of through the centuries, even today. And what it is we're guilty of the same sin that has plagued God's people through the centuries. They did not trust in God. They had left their trust and their faith in God, and were looking at the physical situation that they were getting ready to battle. Saul was the king, and he had left his faith. He was, and there's a reason he was terrified. He's the king. I mean, if you're going into a battle and your leader is scared and terrified, that's not good. I mean, I played some football, and we come off that bus making all kinds of noise when we come off that bus. We want to put the fear into the other team when we came off, you know. And that's what Goliath was doing. He was putting the fear into each one of those men up there on that hill and the king. But Saul had an extra reason to be scared. If Goliath is the champion of the Philistines, huge giant man, he's the champion of the Philistines. Guess who the champion of the Israelites is? The Bible says in Samuel 9 that Saul stood heads above the other ones. Heads above. So you got your giant of the Philistines. And who would be the person you would choose to, if he said, "Come down and one of you fight me"? It'd be Saul, wouldn't it? He's the one. He's the leader. He's the tallest of them. But he was fearful. He took his eyes off of God. He fought many battles before he got here. And they'd won them because of God. God's blessings and favor were upon them. He lost that. So it was a logical choice for him to square off against Goliath. And don't you think the other men in the army thought Saul? I mean, let's look at it. When the war and the battle's all over, there's going to be one winner, and the loser are going to have to serve him, right? But we could just have these two fight it out, and then that's the way it's going to be, or we can all go down there and some of us may die and not live any longer. You know, it'd be a good idea if Saul went down there, but Saul, I mean, you don't tell the king that, but you're thinking that. Okay? Well, this happened, and then I'm going to set the stage a little bit. After that, David was a shepherd boy. He had three brothers that were in the ranks of Saul's army, okay? They were there, his oldest three brothers. His father asked him and instructed him to take food to them and to see how they were doing. He wanted to know how his boys were doing and to bring back word how his boys were doing. Saul obeyed his father, took the food, went over to the battle line to give his brothers the food and to check on them. Well, he got there just at the time that they were lining up on both hillsides to get ready for battle. And just before they do that, Goliath always comes down here and stands and looks up at the Israelites and challenges them and defies their God. Well, David sees this, and he's standing there with these soldiers, and he's saying, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he would defy our God? And goes on, and you know, they're terrified and dismayed. They're fearful. And here's this boy talking pretty much fearless. You know, what's going on here? The word got back to Saul. So in verse 31, chapter 17, verse 31, it says, what David said was overheard and reported to Saul, and Saul sent for him. David said to Saul, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. That's a brave young man. You know, he's not a man according to the rules. We don't know how old David actually was other than he wasn't 20 years old, okay? It says in the Bible, when they reached the age of 20, that was the age that they became old enough to go and be in the army, okay? But we know that he was looked upon as a boy. More than likely, he was probably 15 or 16, good-sized boy, because it says he tries on Saul's armor here. Let's go ahead and read a little more here. It says, Saul replied, you're not able to go out against the Philistines and fight him. You're only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth. Notice that Saul looked at the physical again. He just looked at the boy. He didn't look at the anointing that God had on this young man. And David says, but David said to Saul, your servant has been his father, keeping his father's sheep, when a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock. I went after it and struck it and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them. Okay, right there we can see that this young boy, this shepherd boy, he's done some pretty mighty battle right there. I've never fought a lion and have no desire to fight a lion. I've seen him in the zoo. I was actually one time able to hear one roar. I've heard him, you know, you can hear him for 5 miles. No, it'll shake the ground you're standing on if you're right there in front of him. No, I've seen that one time in my life. A bear. I got no desire to fight bears either. I mean, that's pretty vicious animals when they want to be, you know. So David's they think of him as a shepherd boy, but he's already fought a bear and a lion. Remember when he's up there on that hillside looking down there and Goliath's doing all this talking and he's saying, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? You got a bear here? I fought a bear. I fought a lion. A giant? I think falls right in that category probably, you know. He's looked him over. I mean, he's a wise young lad. He's already seen the weakness. His helmet doesn't cover his whole head. The battle's already been won in his mind. So let's go on and see what he says. He says here, okay, Philistines would be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of the Philistines. Okay, David doesn't come in here and say, Saul, hey, I'm a mighty hunter and I've killed the lion and I've killed the bear. No, he says, the Lord who rescued me from the lion and the bear. So we see where his faith is, right? It's in the Lord. It's in the Lord God. Saul says to David, go and the Lord be with you. So he's convinced him. He's going to let him go. Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened all this equipment on him, the sword, the tunic, and tried walking around because he was not used to them. And he realized right away, this isn't going to work. You know, he didn't feel comfortable in it. It's not the way. He didn't do battle against the bearer of the lion with all this on. Okay? So he tells him, and I cannot go in this, he said, Saul, because I'm not used to them. But stop, let's stop and think for a minute. Saul offered him that armor. Okay? He could probably see that it didn't fit quite right. But remember, we got the one army over here and one army over here. And when this young boy goes out there, what are they going to see? They're not privileged to everything that's gone on. We're talking about thousands of soldiers, okay? So when they see that person going out there, they're going to see the king's armor, okay? They're going to see the king's armor. So from a distance, you might think that's the king in case this boy did win, right? They're going to see the king's armor. Or, hey, he had my armor on when he did it, you know? Like, he wanted to be a part of it. But that's not the way it went down. He said, he took them off, took all that armor off. Then he took his staff, that's the shepherd's staff, in his hand, chose five smooth stones from the stream, put them in his pouch of his shepherd bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. It says, meanwhile, the Philistine with his shield bearer in front of him kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was a little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome, and he despised him. So they're close enough that he knows this is just a boy. He says to David, am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? He sees a shepherd boy and he's got his staff there. You come at me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Come here, he said, and I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals. David said to the giant Goliath of the Philistine, you come against me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin. But I come against you in the name of the Lord God Almighty, the armies of Israel whom you have defied. So right there, David's already telling him, it's not me. You come against God. You come against God this day. And he also went on to say, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hands. The Lord will deliver the Goliath into his hands. And I'll strike you down and cut your head off. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals. Goliath was going to give his head and body to the carcass of the wild animals. David says, and bear with me, there are a multitude of soldiers watching this situation and hearing these words. He says, I'll give you the carcass of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. So not only is he going to defeat Goliath, but he's put the whole Israelite army with him when he says, our hands. He's become a leader. As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead and he fell face down on the ground. Right there you can see that God overcomes. God was with him. God protected him. God gave him the strength. So David triumphed over the Philistines with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. The Bible goes on to say that they went on across and the battle continued. And the Philistines, they didn't keep the deal. The deal, remember when Goliath came out there, he said, if you win, we'll be your subjects. If I win, you'll be our subjects. Well, they won, but then the Philistines took off running. They chased him down and killed him. So what David said that day came true. We're going to go back to Hebrews 1 now. But let's don't forget David's faith, okay? He trusted God, he obeyed God, and he left the consequences up to God. And victory was there, okay? Okay, in Hebrews 1 it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. It says, let us, we're going to go through this first part here. It says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And another version says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. When we look at this, there's obstacles, apparently, in our walk with faith. There's obstacles there. Our choices are not always between right and wrong. They may be between something that hinders us from pursuing God, from being obedient to God. You know, it talks about sin. What are some of the sins that easily ensnare us? The Bible says pride, greed, envy, lust, gluttony, laziness. These are sins that can ensnare us, they can trap us, they can capture us, they can delay us, they can even completely keep us from our faith walk. There's one key point here that we have to remember, that God has given us the power to overcome these sins. If we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, He sends the Holy Spirit to live within us. And that gives us that gives us the opportunity and the power to overcome that sin. Okay, it says, let us run the race. So this is definitely a race. Faith is a race, okay? Race is an action word. It's not a sit and wait. It's an action word. Races have starting points and finishing points. Let us remember that our starting point is with Jesus Christ. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that's when we start that walk of faith, that run of faith, that faith race. But He doesn't leave us there, okay? One of the key points that God laid on my heart when I read the scripture, it says we stand at the starting point, and the Word of God says to us, run. That's not what it said. What it says to us, but let us run. Okay, Paul wrote this. And he's saying, let us run. We as Christians, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we have a race to run. But we don't run it alone. We're supposed to run it together. All of us, taking care of each other, being obedient to God. But we also run it with Jesus Christ. Remember, he sent the Comforter into our heart. He didn't leave us alone. He's with us. Each and every place we go in our lives, He's with us. So let's remember, we don't run the race alone. Faith takes perseverance, endurance. It's not a sprint. It's more like a marathon. Okay? It takes determination, and it takes the effort on our part. So we have a responsibility. But remember, the ultimate example we have in our faith race is Jesus. The Bible here, it says, let us fix our eyes upon Jesus. Let us fix our eyes upon Jesus. To me, that's very important. That's something, when I rededicated my life to Christ, that was if we get our eyes on the Lord and we can get all this worldly stuff behind us, then we're on the right road. And God gives us that Holy Spirit to help us. What I'd like to do, if you'll bear with me, is I'd like each one of you to stop and think about Jesus, right here. We're here today to worship the Lord. Our minds should be on the Lord. Let us think about Jesus. Take that moment. And what I'd like to do, I'd like to share with you, when I take that time and I focus in on Jesus, this is what I see, and maybe it's what you see when you see Jesus. I see love. I see peace. I see victory. I see hope. And I see strength. Let's keep our eyes on Jesus now. I see the Lord. I see a friend. I see the King of Kings. I see forgiveness. I see grace. And I see mercy. When I'm on that weary road, I see rest. When I look at Jesus. I see healing. I see the great I am. I see the light of the world. I see the Savior of the world. I see the Son of the living God, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I hope you see those things. But when I see those things, it gives me strength on my walk, on my walk with the Lord, on my the race that I'm set in my faith. When I come upon situations, you know, I need God's love and I need God's peace in my life. The victory is there in Jesus Christ. I need all these things. I need the healing. I need His mercy. I need His rest. And He offers all those things to us. When we look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising its shame and sitting down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus has paid the price for our sins. Jesus has shown us what true faith is. When we look at that road that Jesus took, the road to the cross, Jesus trusted God for everything, and Jesus was obedient unto death. Remember, again, fix your eyes on Jesus. Remember that He has given us the Holy Spirit to walk with us, to help us through these battles. Remember that Jesus endured the cross and the scorning and the shame. For the joy set before Him. When you start thinking about the road to the cross and what Jesus did for us, despising the shame, enduring the cross, think of all the hostility Jesus endured for us. He was betrayed by one of His own. He was mocked and beaten. He was whipped with a whip. And this whip, it wasn't just like we think of a whip. It had six or seven strands coming off it. And on each strand, they either tied bone or they tied metal on it. So when it hit you, it ripped your skin. Okay? He was given 39 lashes with that whip. And by your stripes, we are healed, spiritually and physically. He went through that for us. Says He endured the shame. Jesus is the King of Kings, but they put a crown of thorns on Him. He endured that. They nailed Him to a cross. In that day, and in all history, it's the worst capital punishment that you can go through. Okay. They buried Him in a tomb. But let us remember, He rose on the third day. And that's the victory we have in Jesus Christ. If you all see that cross behind me there, that cross is in churches and cathedrals all over this world. It stands on mountainsides. It's hung around people's neck. It's a symbol of what Jesus went through for us. It's a symbol of God's love for each and every one of us. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful that God touched my life. I'm thankful that Jesus died on that cross for me. And I'm thankful that He gives us the Bible. He gives us the instructions. We don't walk this walk of faith alone. He gives us the instructions. Right there it is. That's the Word of the living God. I talked about technology, about my paper and the folder and the pen. This is the most technology you can ever have in your life. It's got more power, more wisdom, more strength than you can find anywhere else in this world. And it's right here in this book. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I pray that you come forward and accept Him as your Lord and Savior. I'll be right up front here. I'll be more than glad to pray with you, to talk to you. We got the pastor's room over here. If you're here today and you need to get back on that walk with Jesus, that you've been sidetracked, I'd be glad to, you know, come up and talk to me. I'd be glad to pray with you. You can come up front and pray with you, and we'll work through that. But God loves each and every one of us. He's got a plan for each one of our lives. All we have to do is call out. Remember that God is my Father in heaven. This is my Father's house right here. This is our Father's house right here. He loves us. He wants to hear from us. He gives us prayer. The creator of all the world, let's Rex Poole call Him up. You know, that's amazing. It's amazing. And he listens to me, and he guides me, he forgives me. You know, that's just amazing. And one thing I want to point out real quick here, you know, we talked about David and faith. Young people in here, you don't have to be 62 years old to have faith. In fact, most of those people were a lot older than David, and none of them had faith. They'd lost their faith in God and in Christ. They were looking at the world. You can be our Davids of this age. God's got a plan and a purpose for each one of your lives. Don't wait. Don't wait till you're... You know, if you hear that call from God, now's the day. Now is the time. And there's no better plan in life. So with that, I'm going to say a prayer, and then I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up here. We have an invitation hymn. If you'd like to accept Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, I'd be glad to pray with you. God loves you. It's simple. That's the simplicity of God's love for us. All we have to do is remember what faith is. It's believing in God. It's obeying God. And it's trusting God. If we'll do that and just leave the consequences up to God, whatever happens from there, we're in good hands. We're in good hands. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you. I thank you for this opportunity to speak your words, Lord. I pray that your words go out, Lord, that each person here is touched by you, Lord God, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit. I pray if there's anyone here that doesn't know you, Lord Jesus, as their Lord and Savior, that your Spirit would touch them, that your love would encompass them, Lord, and that they would take that step of faith, and step out and start the race, Lord, and ask you to be their Lord and Savior. Lord, I pray they'd come forward during this invitation and make a public expression of their faith for you. Lord, if there's anyone here that they're having a struggle in their lives, I pray that your Spirit would touch them, that they know that you love them, that you have a plan for their lives. I just pray that your Spirit would just overwhelm this sanctuary, Lord, that everyone here would feel your love, Lord. Guide us and lead us. Thank you for this day. Thank you for what you did for us on the cross, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your saving grace, for your mercy and compassion, Lord. It's in Jesus' mighty and precious and holy name I pray. Hallelujah. Amen.